Sobering words from today's gospel. Anyone who says, Lord, Lord, may not necessarily kind of be responded to by Jesus. You might almost say that we are both hearers and doers of the word. When we talk in terms of being hearers, there's another aspect which comes into play. And that immediately is the fact that we also have to be listeners. There's a wonderful little story about Fred, who's watching a Packers game. He's lying on the couch, kind of with the remote control, and his wife comes in and says, Fred, the kids are going to go over to the neighbors for a visit. Fine. Fred, I think your mother called, and she wants us to call a little bit later to talk to her about something. Okay, fine. You could see the wife was getting a little perturbed. And so finally she said, Fred, I think I'm going to go outside and kill myself. Fred turned to her and said, well, have a good time, Mary. Have a good time. He was listening. He was hearing, but he wasn't listening. And that's an important distinction. We can hear things, but not necessarily perceive them in the manner that they're directed. Share with you a lesson that I learned as a seminarian who was assigned to a parish. It was one of our pastoral quarters, and we're sent there to kind of get into the parish mode, to kind of understand how the parish functions, for us to get into our ability to kind of see the workings of the parish. And of course, the pastor introduced myself and another seminarian, and we were standing in the back of the church. And people were coming up and greeting us, so good to have you here, just like many of our parishioners will do. And I sat back and I was shaking hands, and one lady came and she looked a little distraught, and she looked at me and she said, Father, and I said, well, I'm not a priest, I'm just a theologian, just a seminarian. She says, could you answer me a question? Is it okay for someone to donate their organs when they're dying? I said, well, of course, then I gave her the answer, the church's answer upon death. Certainly, the donation of organs is seen as a tremendous charitable gift, as a giving. And she said, because my sister is dying and she wants to donate her organs. And so I responded with the church's teaching, and the lady thanked me and began walking away. I was hearing but not listening. I heard the question, but I didn't respond to the need. This was a woman whose sister was dying. She was in pain. And I answered the academic question. But what she needed was she needed someone to respond to her pain, to her hurt. I was hearing, but I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening. It was a great lesson for me in terms of taking a look at my own life when I respond to individuals, when I am called to literally embrace that which is being presented to me, to listen. You know, we hear in the gospel what Jesus says immediately. He says, you know, if you're going to build that house, you build that house on a stone foundation, because there is going to be various things that happen almost immediately that pulls you away. There's going to be suffering, there's going to be pain, there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be extreme joy, which can be exactly the opposite, where pain and suffering pulls you into the experience, the human frailty and dimension. Extreme joy kind of makes you believe that it's all you, it's all me. And what we need to do is we need to then hear the word of God, hear God's presence in our life, listen to what God is saying to us through these moments. Listen, embracing that moment through the Word of God. Everyone who listens to these words of mine, but then does not act on them. So we are hearers and we are doers. What listening to the Lord does is it forces us out of ourselves to reach out in His name to others. We become doers based on what we are listening to. But in order to make sure that we are doers in the proper sense, we have to have a relationship with God at all times in our life. And you know what that is? It's called prayer. So we listen to the Word of God, embrace that moment, and then we pray. We pray because we have a relationship with God. You know, many people will want to take a look at this, especially this first one. It's not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Says, well, what am I doing then? Why am I coming together? Why am I coming in mass and celebrating every Sunday? Why am I doing all these things? Why am I embracing all these things and saying, Lord, Lord, if He's not going to answer? The aspect there is the fact that in that prayer, you're authentic before God. And it's not a matter of the things that you do and then your relationship with God. It's both. It's the law and it's the faith. We are called to do, practice our faith. And what does this do? This keeps us on the path. If we take a look at the end of our path is the Lord Jesus Christ, is God Himself at the end of the path, what this does is it keeps us on our path. It brings us here before the Lord. It places us on our knees. It forces us to say to God, here I am, Lord. What do you want from me? What are you calling me to do? How shall I enact your word? And the beauty for us as Catholics is that we have the sacred liturgy. September 30th, 2010, Benedict XVI released the post-synodal apostolic exhortation called Verbum Domini, the Word of God. And in it he spoke about this word in action with us and with all the aspects of the church. And in one very significant passage, he said, the church is the home of the Word. Is the home of the Word. So here we come to visit Jesus Christ. Not the fact that Jesus Christ and our Lord is not present in our prayers as we pray privately at home, but here we come to His home. Here we come to hear His Word proclaimed. Here we have Him teaching and directing us through this Word. And then the Word comes from this moment onto that altar and becomes His body, His blood, His flesh, and we take communion with Him. We join ourselves to that Word. And then as true doers, we go out into the world. We go out into the world to unite our actions to His. That's very significant. That's very significant. In the sense that we then understand that everything we do, who we are, should be a reflection of Christ's presence in us and a reflection of Christ to our brothers and sisters. Then all of a sudden, all of our actions are elevated. All of our actions become truly those actions which reflect back to Christ, and His love is proclaimed. When we're a true doer of the Word, we know why we do what we do. We just don't arbitrarily do things. We know why we do what we do. We are consciously, intentionally manifesting the person of Christ in His love. This is a time now when we suddenly are going into a penitential season. Ash Wednesday coming up. We're going to be asked to step back from our routines, to take a look at what we are called to be and to do during that period of time, to examine our own lives, examine our lives and relationships to the community. It's a time of penance, but it's a time of preparation because it's a time that we focus on the great mystery that's going to be given to us in the death and resurrection of Christ. And if we begin to think about it, his suffering and his death is for us, is the great gift for us. When we understand and hear the word, we then fall to our knees and understand it's just not me and you, God, but it's you calling me in communion with my brothers and sisters to be in and through where your home is in the church, and to be confronted by you to live fully the life that God has planned for us. As Isaiah said in the very beginning, in Deuteronomy, in the very beginning, when the prophet Moses said, this is a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because when we understand it, it is open to all of us. It is a sense of God's presence in our lives. It elevates our very being. It's a curse because we're denying that to ourselves when we don't follow what God has spoken to us. Be hearers and doers. Listen and pray, and let your actions reflect the presence of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.